Jonah was called by God to go and share a message with a foreign nation to the east in modern day Iraq, a place called Nineveh, near the city of Mosul today. These were people who weren't God's people. They were evil and they were enemies. But Jonah, being a prophet, he knew that if you go and send a message, there's a chance that the people will turn and repent and God won't punish them and they will get mercy. And Jonah did not want them to have mercy. So he said, I'm not going. And he ran in the opposite direction on a ship going west. Now, part of the theme of Jonah is that God's desire is to bring the good news to all nations, not just a select few. But also part of the message is that you cannot run away from God because he rules the world. And even if you're successful at running away from God for much of your life, you will still meet him on the day of judgment. And Jonah is a picture of God's pursuing grace, pursuing someone who's in rebellion and bringing them to a place of judgment and a place of choice and a place of encounter with the living God. Now, Jonah, if you look at it, it's a little bit like a four-box DVD set. Each chapter ends on a cliffhanger. Have you noticed that? You know, each chapter kind of ends with the kind of, you know, at the end of an episode of the TV, it sort of says, to be continued. Well, in the last episode, Jonah is thrown overboard by these sailors who didn't want to tell the good news or about God to them, but he ended up telling them anyway. And so God uses him despite the fact he doesn't want to share God's message. He ends up being used by God anyway. God will have his way in the end. But the episode finishes with a gigantic splosh. Down he goes. And you can imagine the credits rolling on the last episode and saying, to be continued. But the thing is, we know that Jonah didn't die. He went down and there was a gigantic gulp. And according to the Bible, he was swallowed by a giant fish or possibly a whale. And he spent a long time in there, 3 days and three nights. And you read in this chapter how there was a prayer going on inside this belly of this fish, during which Jonah begins to change. Not completely, but he has a transformation. He meets God face to face in the belly of that darkness. And then he's vomited onto a beach. Jonah thought it was over and out, but actually it was over and in. But before we go any further, you're all intelligent adults. Do you think this really happened? Now, there is a picture of a sperm whale. Now, we don't know what kind of animal it was. I believe that it really did happen. But some scholars say, well, it is completely unlikely that anyone would survive. But then you have to think, if God is the one who made the sea, depends on your view of the universe. If God is the one who made the sea, as Jonah said, I believe in the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. If God made the sea, then it's not so hard for you to believe that he can do this. I mean, Jesus coming back to life from the dead, I think, is a more difficult miracle than keeping someone alive in the belly of an animal. Think of Daniel's three friends in the fiery furnace. And that's impossible, isn't it? So being alive in the belly of a fish is, it's a miracle. It is a miracle. But some scientists just talk about the sperm whale and say the sperm whale is big enough to hold a human being whole. It's got four stomachs. If you can survive the first stomach, which is the crushing stomach, it crushes the squids. But if you can survive that, if you're a bit smaller than a squid, and you slide into the second stomach, that is the size of quite a big cavern. The only problem is there's no oxygen in there, and there's a lot of gastric juices. There is a rather dubious story of a man being found inside the belly of a whale called James Bartley in the year 1891. He apparently fell off a ship near the Falkland Islands and was swallowed by a sperm whale. The story has dubious, some people think it's been debunked. But you don't need to believe that in order to believe that God can do miracles. And just before we carry on, some scholars think it might have been a giant shark. They found a large Mediterranean shark a few years ago that was 25 feet long. It was a big thing. It swallowed a horse whole. So it is, within the realm of possibility, but I think it was a miracle. Now, is anyone a fan of jazz music? Well, there's a song by a jazz writer called George Gershwin who mocks the Jonah story, and the words goes like this. It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things you're liable to read in the Bible, they ain't necessarily so. Jonah lived in a whale. He made his home in a fish's abdomen. It ain't necessarily so. So it's a kind of a mockery. Then I heard of a preacher. I think it was great. He made a comeback song. I won't sing all of it, but he wrote this. He wrote, "You ain't being logical, though. You ain't being logical, though. If God made the fishes, they'll do as he wishes. You ain't being logical, though." Whatever you think, you've got to realize this. Jesus classed Jonah as a real person. Jesus referred to Jonah as a historical individual in the books of Matthew and Luke. And the story itself, the book, reads like a narrative. It doesn't read like a myth or a parable. Now, there are four truths, I think, in this chapter that help us learn about God, our rescuer. The first thing is, I believe it's a warning. A warning. Sometimes God must severely humble us before he can rescue us. You know, sometimes God can't get hold of someone, so he has to put them through something pretty severe. Severe mercy. In order to get their attention. And this is exactly what he did with Jonah. You see, Jonah was going along on his ship, bright open sea. I can do what I like. I'm my own God. Ah, the wind, you know, the breeze in his hair. And suddenly it all goes completely wrong. God sometimes will do upset the apple cart to rescue someone. Now, has that happened in some of your lives? I'm sure it may have done. Definitely happened in mine. I had plans to go to America and be a weightlifter and a bodybuilder, pose on the beach and all this sort of thing. I had all these plans to take drugs, and the Lord ruined the whole thing to get hold of me. But you see, this would have been a lesson to the original readers, because we don't know who the original readers of Jonah were. Maybe they were before the exile into Babylon. Maybe the original readers later would have read it during the exile in Babylon. Or maybe the ancient Israelites who read it had just come out of exile. We don't know who the original audiences would have been. But it would have been a warning to them, because you see, they knew what all the prophets, what they used to say is, if you disobey God, if you run against God, try and run away from him, God will deal with you and put you into exile. And Jonah was a prophet. And I believe that Jonah really did go through this, but it's a kind of an acted out picture of what happens to Israel if they run away from God. A lot of the prophets, people like Hosea, they use this image of being swallowed up by a sea monster. And so, for example, in Hosea chapter 8, verse 8, it says, Israel is swallowed up. Now she is among the nations. So this was a popular image. Run away from God and you'll go into exile. It's like being swallowed by a sea monster. So I think Jonah was a warning to God's people, as well as a true story. Look at Jeremiah 51, verse 34. I was really amazed when I read this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured us like the sea monster. He has swallowed us up and filled his stomach with our precious things, and then has spewed us out. So what Jonah goes through in real life as a real story is a warning. Israel, this has happened to you or can happen to you if you run away from God. And then lastly, in the Psalms also talk about this. They talk about a nation who could have swallowed up Israel. And it says this in Psalm 124, verse 3. It says, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Don't you think it's amazing how God can get a man, put him through something, and use it as a lesson of how God deals with people? The second thing in this chapter concerns Jonah himself. Jonah was also a sign of God's ultimate rescuer, who was going to come and rescue people from sin. Because you see, when Jonah sank down into the water, into the sea is like death. It's a picture of death and separation. Because you know, when he went down under the waves, he was completely separated. Down he went. And he ends up in a fish's belly. The fish's belly is a symbol of the grave where Jesus went. And then the fish vomits. But the vomit, what's that representing? It's a sign of resurrection. That the death couldn't hold Jesus. The grave couldn't hold Jesus. The grave had to expel Jesus. And Jesus came out as resurrection. So that the vomit, is a picture of the resurrection. The grave couldn't hold Jesus, just like the fish couldn't hold Jonah. God commanded the fish, and out Jonah came. And Jonah, when he went down into the waters, it's an interesting thing he said in one of his, in this verse, chapter 2, verse 4. Jonah is cut off. He's cut off from everything. He says, I have been banished from your sight. So Jonah is feeling cut off from God. And I guess he had to understand what it was like to feel cut off. Because he was going to go and talk to a load of pagans in a city who were cut off from God. He was going to go to Nineveh, and in Nineveh they were cut off from God. And he had to understand, what's it like to be a pagan? What's it like to be cut off from God? And down he went, cut off from God. But you know, that's a sign of what Jesus went through. Because Jesus on the cross, he was cut off from up from his Father. And he really, really was. Whereas Jonah kind of still had God with him, really, in the belly of the fish. Whereas Jesus really was cut off from God on the cross. So it's a sign, isn't it? And you know, the other thing to say briefly is this. The sailors were converted on the ship. The whole city was converted in Nineveh later. Do you think that's a sign, a picture of what Jesus' salvation does, saving of the nations? Through Jesus' death and resurrection, many people get converted and saved. Jonah is a sign of what Christ did on the cross and his death and resurrection. But now I want to come on to something really practical for us here today, and that is an encouragement. It's an encouragement. Now, in that picture there, you can see Jonah stuck in the belly of a whale or whatever it was. By the way, some people think that the sea creature may not be with us anymore. It may be an extinct sea creature that we no longer have. But whatever it was, the Lord prepared it. But Jonah is trapped, isn't he? He's absolutely confined. And sometimes in life, you and I will end up in a situation where you feel trapped. You feel confined. You feel restricted. It's suffering. It's confusion. One author calls it feeling like being trapped in the belly of a beast. And Jonah's prayer is a little example on how we can process, how we can respond when we feel trapped in life, completely trapped in a circumstance or a situation that's very painful and difficult. And there's no way out. You're brought to the end of yourself. You're brought to the end of your resources. And all you can do is cry out to God. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. And sometimes God brings you into a situation in your life. I've been at least two situations, I'll tell you about them in a minute, but where you feel like you feel absolutely trapped, and all you can do is cry out to God. And maybe you ended up there and it's your own fault. Maybe it's your own sin, like Jonah, your own stupidity that made you go into a situation where God brought you to humble you, to deal with you. Or maybe it's not your fault at all. Maybe you're innocent. Maybe it's the fault of someone else that you feel devastated or trapped. Think of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph in the book of Genesis, he was in prison and it wasn't his fault. It was the fault of his brothers. And sometimes God allows you to come into that sort of situation. And if you're there, Jonah's prayer can really help us. So what does Jonah do? The first thing he does is he cries out. It says in verse 2, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from deep in the realm of the dead. I called for help, and you listened. to my cry. I remember once in my own life, I was brought into a situation, and it was probably my fault, if I'm honest. And I was in this situation, and I felt like I was in a pit. And in this pit, and I just cried out to God and said, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I am utterly trapped. And the amazing thing was the Lord listened, even though he had allowed me to go there. And in the end, he brought me out into a wide place of blessing. Another occasion, I was driving my car. This is slightly different. I was driving my car on the M20 motorway, and my car started to do pirouettes on the road. Probably it was my fault. I was probably driving too fast in the wet. But the car pinballed across the motorway, and there was cars and lorries and vans everywhere. And all I remember doing is crying out. I just cried out to Jesus. I said, Jesus! And the car was completely wrecked. It's got smashed up, complete write-off. It was a steaming wreck. But I got out of the car unscathed, turned around, 20 metres behind me was an ambulance waiting. He'd followed me and saw it all. Now, I just have an experience of crying out to God when you're in distress. And Jonah cried out, and he found that God answered him. And God is there. God is wherever you go. God was even there in the belly of the beast. This is the truth of the Lord. He's always there. Like Tony said, he's a father who can really help you when humans can't. Even at the bottom of the sea, no one is too hopeless, no one is too deep, too far away. If they cry out to the Lord, as it says in Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2, he's a present help in your trouble. He's always there. In Psalm 139, it says, just a couple of verses, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the very depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God is able to rescue when you're in a difficult situation. That's all I want to encourage you with this morning. If you get yourself into a mess, or it's not your fault, or you just don't understand, you can cry out to the Lord and he will answer. It may not always be how you think he should, but he will hear you. He will answer you. See, Jonah, you see, in this story, he goes down and down. It says he goes down to the roots of the mountains, goes down to the very bottom of the earth where it seems shut in forever. And yet, there's a ski jump on the end. He doesn't go down and that's it. He comes back up because Jonah says, verse 6, he says, you brought my life up. It's a bit like a skier. You know when a skier goes down, they go down, 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 but there's a jump at the end. You don't finish in death. You come up again because God, it says, God brought my life up from the pit. I can promise you, God will bring you out of the pit if you cry to him. The other thing to say about this prayer, he sees God's hand in it. He says this in verse 3. He says, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. He says, all your waves and breakers swept over me. So what Jonah's realizing is that, yes, God didn't cause this. God, it was me running away that caused it. But God is able to use it. God is able to turn it into his waves. God is able to redeem this horrible situation. He can work through it. There are God's fingerprints all over it. Because God's priority is not always that we get everything we want. God's priority is to mold us and shape us, to make us like Christ. And sometimes he uses difficult things to do it. Can I just say, when you are in the belly of the beast, when you feel in the belly of the beast, when you're in a difficult situation, and no one can help you except God your Father, although it's a most awful place to be, in some ways it's the best place to be. Because you come to the end of yourself, you start to see God as your true Father. You start to see how he can help you. And you sort of almost enjoy being near him. just want to tell you very quickly about a missionary I read about a few years ago called Geoffrey Taylor Bull. He was a missionary to Tibet in the sort of, I think it was the late 30s, not early 1940s. And he got arrested by the Chinese communists and he got put into solitary confinement on and off for a period of 3 years, mostly on his own. And for him, it was like being in the belly of the beast. And this time it wasn't his fault. He'd been doing what God said and other people's sin had brought him there. But he said, 3 years, the first few months, he hated it. But he cried out to the Lord. But then he saw God's hand in it. And he ended up having such a fellowship with God in that prison that when he got released, part of Geoffrey Ball said, part of me wants to go back and be in that cell again, because there I met with God like I've never met with him outside in all freedom of normal life. You can hate it, but it can sometimes be a place where you become aware of God. Okay, what else does Jonah's prayer teach us? Well, when he's down in the belly of the beast, what does he do? He says, I will look again towards your holy temple, in verse 4. Now, in Jonah's day, the temple was the place where you put your phone call into God. It was like a telephone exchange. Do you remember the telephone exchanges where if you want to make a call, you go to the telephone exchange and they put your call through. Well, the temple was like that back then. And Jonah is saying, God, can I put a call through to you? Will you hear me from the bottom of this pit? And God took the long distance call. He took it. And he said, yes, I will hear you. And I want to tell you this, what we have to do when we're in the pit, we've got to look to Jesus, because we don't have the temple anymore. We've got Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's God's presence. And if you look to Jesus, even though everything's awful, God will hear you. You remember Jesus from the belly of the beast. He says, I remembered you, Lord. It reminds me of Paul and Silas when they were in prison in the book of Acts. They were trapped in a prison in the book of Acts, and although it's awful, they started to look to Jesus and they started to sing and praise the Lord, even though they were in the pit. And the Lord gave them an earthquake and got them out. I think it's a great picture. Challenge. This is the last point. Jonah deserved to drown. He deserved judgment for what he did. But God rescued him. He found mercy and salvation. He says in verse 6, but he recognized he was dying, going down to the roots of the mountains. He recognized the seaweed was wrapped around his head. He said, my life was ebbing away. He recognized he was dying because he deserved to die. But God showed him mercy. And it says, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. And I just want to say this. All you Christians sitting here today, all of us deserve judgment. But you have received mercy. You are like Jonah, sitting here today. Did you know that your middle name is Jonah? What I mean is, we all deserved judgment, but we have received mercy. Now, none of you have been swallowed by a fish this morning, have you? I don't suppose any of you got swallowed by a fish before coming here. If you did, you smell very nice. But the point is this, we all are similar to Jonah because we deserved death and judgment, and yet we have received mercy. So what's the challenge? What's the challenge? Tell other people. Tell other people about the mercy you've received. You know, when Jonah got spat out on the beach, he didn't just spend the rest of his life on the beach. He went off to Nineveh. And I think it's a lesson that once we have got this mercy, we've got to share it. What's happened to us is like what's happened to Psalm 40 there. It says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He has set my feet on a rock, given me a firm place to stand. He has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. God has shown us mercy, so let's share it with other people. That's my kind of challenge, because some people could think, well, they're not going to listen. It's not going to work with my friends. They don't want to hear the gospel. There's no point sharing the mercy I've experienced. Well, God doesn't think that. God thinks, go and share it, even if they don't listen. Now, Jonah's prayer is a great example, but there's one problem with it. It's very subtle. There's one blemish in Jonah's prayer. There's one fly in the ointment that ruins it. And it's found in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2. Because Jonah, he's been rescued, but then he does this. He prays these words. He says, those who cling to worthless idols, that's the pagans, they turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I vowed I will make good. And I may be wrong, but I think there's a subtle self-congratulation going on in Jonah there. There's a subtle, well, I've done well. Those pagans, there's no point really. They're a bit of a write-off for pagans. They're a bit of a lost cause. But I, you know, I've got the truth. But I'm self-righteous. And the problem with that sort of attitude is you tend to think, well, I can enjoy God's salvation, but I don't need to tell other people. I can enjoy it for myself. But we are not to do that. We're not to be self-congratulating, and we're to go sharing the mercy we've been given. Share your experience of mercy and grace. Let others know about the God who rescued you. The Lord is a rescuer. He will rescue you in your difficulties. He rescues you from your sin. He's a wonderful Father. But the challenge is, let's not keep that wonderful news to ourselves. Let's seek to share it and pass it on. Jonah was told to go and share it, and so must we. Amen.